My name is Sarah Van Gelder, and I'm the editor of Yes Magazine. Can you hear me okay? Okay. Yes, it's the Journal of Positive Futures. Thank you. And what I want to talk about is some thoughts about where we might go with reclaiming democracy, reclaiming the media, and actually reclaiming America. One of the things that I observed after the last 9/11 is there was a kind of a sense of confusion and a sense of hesitancy and a sense of chaos among a lot of the movements that we're all involved in. I think a lot of us felt kind of cowed. What does all this mean? Where do we go next? And a lot of the momentum, the incredible momentum behind the movement against corporate globalization, the global justice movement, and some of the other movements, it kind of, the energy got sucked out of that, at least for the moment. And now we're a full year after that. And I've been putting a lot of thought into what all that means for our various movements and the various possibilities. And I think it's time that we not only move beyond that hesitancy, but recapture the momentum. And I want to talk a little bit about how we might do that. First, I want to go back and talk a little bit about American history, if you'll forgive me for doing that. We put out an issue of the magazine called What Does It Mean to Be an American Now? And during that process and subsequently, we did a bunch of research into American history. And the conclusion that I got out of that process was that basically America has two main threads of history. It has an empire history, and it has a history of a democratic America. And one of the reasons that so many of us are hesitant to claim patriotism is because we think of America in terms of the empire. And there's incredible atrocities that were done in the name of America throughout our history from the moment that Columbus reached the shores of the New World. Incredible atrocities, and they're atrocities that we have not dealt with as a nation. That took the form of course, you know, what we know happened in terms of Native Americans. Let me finish, and then I'll give you a chance. What we know happened in terms of Native Americans, the slave trade, Manifest Destiny, which suggested that Anglo-Saxons were entitled to the entire North American continent by virtue of their character and their Christianity. I mean, the atrocities go on right up to the present. When I went to Guatemala in the late 70s, I did a little research into the history there and found out that in 1954, our government had overthrown the government of Guatemala because it had not been sufficiently friendly to the United Fruit Company. And what I didn't learn in school was anything about this. I didn't learn about that particular piece of history. I didn't learn that led to decades of genocide of the Mayan people of Guatemala. I didn't learn about the School of the Americas and that our government was training the worst of the torturers and the dictators. I didn't learn any of that in school. So somehow we were doing these atrocious things, but we were kind of keeping that from the American people. Now we've taken that empire the next step with George W., who doesn't even bother to try to hide it. He simply, and the administration simply says, we have the right to overthrow another government if we don't happen to like them. The other excuses are falling by the wayside. So America as an empire is overreaching, in my view. It's got a long history, but it's kind of overreaching. Now that we think we don't even need allies, we can throw away all the treaties. We can make all of our decisions on our own. We can declare war on our own. We don't need anybody else. We are the American empire. We are the sole remaining superpower, and that's settled. Okay? Now there's another America. There's America that the two former panelists were also referring to, which is the America of democratic people's struggles. It's a democratic history that, you know, has examples like the Boston Tea Party, which was a group of people who said no to a large corporation, the East India Company, which was trying to monopolize the tea trade. And they said, no, we're not going to let this big corporation determine our economic structure. And they threw thousands of pounds sterling worth of tea into the Boston Harbor. Okay? So we have long history that we can be very proud of. We have a history of an abolition movement, a labor movement, environmental movement, civil rights movement, anti-war movement. We have an incredible history that we can be proud of, that we can claim is essential to the America that we have today. Our founding fathers, for all their flaws, were correct in one thing, which is that democracy is not something you win and then you have. You constantly struggle for it. And all those movements are a reflection of that struggle. And the movements that we're involved in today are a reflection of that struggle, too. And I would say that that is the kind of process that we are taking forward in the independent media. And I would also say that that democracy is where Americans are, for the most part. I would say that if you were to actually have a conversation, a focus group, with a group of average Americans, how many of them would actually want the policies of Empire America that involve sending young men and women around the world to destroy, you know, to kill and to be killed in order to maintain the access of U.S. corporations to the resources and labor of other countries around the world? And I bet there's very few people who would say that that's what they wanted, especially if they had an alternative, especially if they could identify America with a democratic America. And that's what I think we can do. Now, what I think is really interesting, especially since 9/11, is that both political parties have become firmly aligned with the empire model. Okay, and I think most of the mainstream media has become firmly aligned with the empire model. And I don't think that's where Americans are. And I think that provides us with an opportunity and a challenge. I think our challenge is to start speaking to Americans across the board. And by across the board, I mean people of every race, ethnicity, both genders, people of all ages, to start speaking in ways that speaks to their concerns and to their notions, their aspirations. And I want to give you some specific examples of where Americans are at, that things that are being ignored by both political parties and the mainstream media. There's something like 70% of Americans who think corporations have too much power. That's according to Business Week magazine. Okay, that's not a radical poll. 70% think the corporations have too much power. Now, where in the mainstream media is that being discussed? Where in the two political parties is that being discussed? It's not, except for the very minor aspects of accounting reform. That's something that can be part of the agenda that we need to be bringing forward and, of course, have been bringing forward. 55% believe that we know enough about climate change and its causes that we should act now. Okay? That doesn't mean getting rid of Kyoto. That means acting now, as they're doing in Europe and most of the rest of the world, which is finally getting fed up with waiting for the United States. 97% of respondents to a survey by the Atmosphere Alliance say that we should be increasing the use of new technologies that improve fuel efficiency and conserve energy. Okay? If you ask how many people think there should be new drilling in the United States to get more oil and gas, it's about 6%. How many should think we should be getting more foreign oil in? About 16%. The American people are not interested in us furthering our dependence on the fossil fuel economy. They want alternatives. What are we getting from the administration? Or even from the Clinton administration, for that matter. Universal health care. People want universal health care. I don't have the exact statistics, but I believe it's majority. 79% said they wanted to see genetically modified fruits and vegetables get labeled. We don't even see any discussion about that. So, I think that the support for the empire America is only as deep as the threats continue to be believable. To the extent that people believe there are threats, they're willing to... Let me finish, okay? And then I'll give you a chance. I'll give you a chance, I promise. Just let me finish.
All right, I'd like to follow up with some questions.
Okay, so let me finish, okay? So one of the reasons I'm focusing on America is because most of us, maybe all of us, are Americans. America is one of the biggest threats. Nelson Mandela just called the United States the biggest threat to world peace in the United States. And this is the place where we need to reclaim the authority and the power to move forward in a meaningful way with a more democratic agenda. And again, I think it's an agenda that we can help to create, because it's an agenda that has been abdicated by most of the mainstream press. So what does that mean in terms of what the independent media can do? What can the independent press do? I think one thing we can do is focus on some of these issues that Americans care about. Okay, we can talk about what are people doing to get adequate health care, because for so many people, that's a major fear in their lives. And I think we need to address what's going on in people's lives that are affecting them now. I think we can work on our use of language to make sure that our language is inclusive and inviting, to make sure we don't use jargon that requires that somebody be part of a leftist organization or have a certain kind of familiarity with the WTO, the IMF, the TRIPS, the GATT, and all of those before they can feel part of our group. We need to use language that speaks to people in ordinary terms. I think we need to be very careful about rants and rhetorics and instead try to be factual and speak to people's realities and speak to people's hearts. And I think we have to be very careful to not be anti-American, to be anti-empire, but not to be anti-American. I think we can be factual, informative, humorous, and insightful, and talk in a way that draws on our spirit as well as our head, draws on the heart, draws on our sense of possibility, and on our sense of aspirations as a people. I think we can work on making the work we do beautiful so that people are attracted to it, so they're drawn into it, so they want to be part of it. I think we can start creating in the very media, we can create the atmosphere of the kind of world we're trying to create. We're trying to create something very different that's not like the money rules, commercialized, hard-edged, sprawling system that we're all a part of. We're trying to create something intrinsically different, and all of us have some part of understanding what that looks like. And to the extent that we can live that in our everyday lives and in the media that we're putting out, so we actually create that sense of atmosphere and draw people into it, I think that will help people get a sense of the reality of what that means. I think we can expand the definition of what it means to be an American. For too long, the notion of American has been too closely related to being Anglo-Saxon and being male. And I think in all of our media, it's incumbent on us to make sure that the experts we draw on are as diverse as the population of America, that the writers are as diverse, that the worldviews draw on the very different sorts of experiences that people from very different parts of America have. We need to make sure that when we talk about the problems of poverty, for example, we don't treat poor people as only the objects. They are often the subjects, okay? They are creating a difference. They are not just the subjects of the oppression, okay? Otherwise, we go back into the same trap of treating poor people, for example, as passive rather than as active creators of their future. I think we can set an agenda for America. I don't think we need to be shy about doing that. I think we can be paying attention to what that agenda is. And one of the ways that we know what that agenda is we look at what people are doing. We look at the movements that are developing. We draw on those and say, what is it that this is telling us about what people want? We can celebrate. We can celebrate the accomplishments that so many people are making around the world and in the United States. So many of the people that are doing the best work at the grassroots work for years without recognition. We can celebrate them. We can feature them in our various media and publications. We can talk about what they've been able to accomplish. We can look at their work with joy and join them in expressing what a difference that they've made in the world. And for people who've spent years and years slogging away in some kind of community, sometimes that makes a huge difference to just know that the community has recognized what they've done. And we can outcompete the corporate press. And that sounds maybe a little bit hard to believe since we're so marginally funded and so marginal in many respects compared to the corporate press. But I think increasingly people are going to realize just how shallow the corporate press is. They're not getting the stories there. They're not getting the truth anymore. You know, if I want to read a daily newspaper, I have to go online and read The Guardian just to get a clue about what's going on in the world, because I know I won't get it from the American corporate press.